This is North Shore Today. Hello, everyone. I'm Bill Newell. In today's program, we'll hear from Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be moving our monument, which right now is pretty much smack dab in the middle of the square. We're going to be moving that over in front of the courthouse, creating an open plaza area in front of our...
And first-year head football coach at Ipswich, Kevin Fassette.
We did a lot of good things, and we're getting better week to week, and that's really our goal, especially with a lot of young kids playing in new positions.
Betancourt and Fassette today on North Shore Today. Hello, everyone. I'm Bill Newell with Rick Moore, and it is Tuesday here on the North Shore, and our beautiful spell of weather is finally over, Rick. We've been released from this relentless sunshine and beautiful dry weather for weeks and weeks here, and it looks like we're in for it for the next few days or next week or something or other.
Yeah. It looks like those who have been asking for rain, well, here it comes, and the wind, and also we got to watch the storm this weekend too, I guess, might wash out some of the games or make it difficult at any rate. But yeah, we do need the rain, but I don't know that we need 10 days of it.
Yeah, so this tropical storm Joaquin, I watched the news today, and it's got a path straight up the eastern seaboard. And again, tropical storm, not hurricane, tropical storm Joaquin. But I'm still not sure whether it has much strength when it comes to us, but it could certainly have a lot of rain and some wind as it comes to us. But not being a meteorologist, I really don't want to play one even on the internet, where the rules are a little bit looser. But that's really not what I want to do. So, but just keep posted. I know I thought I saw one forecast yesterday, which had a little window of time on Friday. But I could be thinking about from a week ago. But I think we're good. We'll see what happens, and we can't worry about it right now. It's only Tuesday, and we've got days and days to go before our two football games on Friday night. Gloucester at Revere, live video Friday night, and Beverly playing at Lynn English Friday night, live internet radio. And Rick,
yeah, I talked with. Go ahead, Bill.
Yep. No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I talked with Revere coach Luchik at Telly last night, and we do have that on demand on the website with North Shore Sports Night, and Coach Ciccatelli, always upbeat, always enthusiastic, and they haven't played Gloucester, I think, in 4 or 5 years, so they're very much looking forward to having Gloucester come to their new stadium. And Revere on a roll right now. They're playing really strong football. They have a good turnout for sports this year, and so it's exciting things happening down there in Revere.
Right, and again, just for folks headed down to Revere, the new stadium is in the exact same place as the old stadium, right off Broadway in Revere, and it's beautiful. It's in the same footprint as the old stadium, but it's just completely updated. So if you like the style of Manning Field and Lynn, just probably a little shinier, a little bit newer, although Manning Field and Lynn is in great condition, you're going to love De La Russa Stadium down in Revere. And again, that's a Friday night game, and it should be it's a great place to go now for North Shore football. It was always kind of a great little old stadium anyways. I guess one of those must have been one of the Depression projects, right? It must have been in that era, like the old Bertram Field in Salem was, and the old Manning Bowl was. I think it was in that era, the old De La Russa Stadium. That's my guess. Probably am wrong on that. But anyways, it's new and it's updated, and it's a great place to watch high school football for sure.
You know, if you say something forcefully enough, Bill, people won't know that you're wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Noel was on there. Yeah, you know the Revere Stadium.
Hey,
that was built during the Depression. Yeah.
Just say it emphatically. And hey, I was on the internet, so it's got to be right.
Yeah. Just don't bother to check anything we say. Trust me. You can trust us. We're different than the other internet sources.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Bill, it is a preliminary election day, as you mentioned, in Gloucester. And just let me run over the candidates today one more time. Campaigning for mayor and running for mayor are the interim mayor, Safathia Romeo Taken. And there was a little bit of controversy about that because she had sort of indicated that it would just be an interim position. She would take the position when Mayor Carolyn Kirk resigned, and she would take the mayoral position under the condition that she would not run for election. And here she is running for election. So a little controversy over that. And she said, hey, I just changed my mind. And the people want me. City Council President and Ward 1 Councilor Paul McGeary is also running for mayor, along with Councilor at Large Greg Verga. And we have videos of all three of those candidates on our website. If you're undecided, take a look at the videos right now before you go vote. Francisco Sclafani and Francisco Sclafani, and Daniel Roberti are also running for mayor. And Dan Roberti is in his late 80s, and he's been running for mayor, I don't know, 30 or 40 years. He has a sticker campaign. He sits out on one of the intersections in Gloucester and just hands out stickers every day. So he's in his perennial biannual mayoral run. Now, for Ward 1, that's the only other contested race in the preliminary. It is three candidates who will need to be whittled down to two. There are three candidates, Rebecca Borden, R. Scott Memhard, and Everett Brown, as they are seeking to replace Ward 1 Councilor Paul McGeary, who, as we indicated, is running for mayor. So that's the those are the big races in Gloucester today. And again, the polls open until 8 p.m. tonight, I believe. A couple of other things, Bill, from Cape Ann that the Gloucester Times says. Can I mention those?
Well, let me just I just got one little note here to kind of tie in what you were saying. I know we're talking with Mayor Betancourt of Peabody in a moment, but there is a preliminary race in Ward 1 in Peabody with three candidates that need to get down to two slots. Ward 1 councilor seat, which has Barry Osborne running, Ann Quinn running, and attorney Brian Barrett running, and also John Turco. So maybe it's four for two. So so there's a race in Ward 1 in Peabody, and there's also primary elections in Salem today.
You know, part of the problem, Bill, is that we record this before I've had my second cup of coffee.
Really? I've already had a few cups of coffee, Rick.
Okay. Well, maybe I should do that.
Anyway, you got to get
up early.
Other
notes. Yeah, a couple of other notes from the Gloucester Times. Rockport has prohibited smoking in town parks and playgrounds. A new regulation banning smoking in Rockport's public places and workplaces has been passed by the town's Board of Health. Now, I don't know what the penalty is, but there you go. They've banished smoking in public places in Rockport, outside, which is rather interesting. And well, there's one other thing, too. Oh, yeah, UMass is moving its, I got to pronounce this correctly now, its Large Pelagics Research Center, a world-class research facility affiliated with UMass. It's not the UMass moving out itself, but this Large Pelagics Research Center is leaving UMass Boston. Or UMass, rather, Amherst, which is this research facility, is located in Gloucester. And so they're leaving the Gloucester facility, the institute is, and moving down to UMass Boston. So this marine station that is owned by the University of Massachusetts is out in Harbor Cove, that's up toward Lanesville. So that will stay here, but UMass isn't saying what will go in there next. And they call this the Tuna Lab. So the Tuna Lab is leaving, but they're not saying what else might be coming in at this UMass research station.
A Tuna Lab, huh?
Tuna Lab, yeah.
Yes. Serving lunch and dinner. No.
Well, no, I don't think so.
No, I'm sorry.
I think it's more of a whale. They study whales, but I'm not sure. I really don't know.
They study whales at the Tuna Lab? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know why they call it a Tuna Lab.
Trust
it's
us. It's
pelagic.
Yeah, trust us. We're on the internet. You can trust anything that this guy or that I say. That's for sure.
Man, we're going down a bad path here this morning.
All right.
Wait. It says turtle and tuna research. So I was wrong. It's not whales. Tuna and turtle research. And that's from the Times. So Sean Horgan is the man. Sean knows what he's talking about.
All right, what we're going to do is take a quick break here. We're going to jump in. We've got Mayor Betancourt from Peabody. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got some more coming up. Plus, we'll also hear from Ipswich High football coach Kevin Fassett. Kevin, new on the job this year at Ipswich High School. We'll meet him coming up in our program as well. And we got a lot more little tidbits from around the North Shore, so stay with us right here on msonewsports.com. This is North Shore Today.
Back in the office of Peabody Mayor Mark Betancourt. Sorry, you're not the coach. Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt, I beg your pardon. We're just talking football. You're
yes,
at the game Friday night.
Yes.
All right, tough game. Beverly winning that one. We'll talk about that more in sports. But, Mr. Mayor, last time I was here, you had the International Festival coming up.
Yes.
And a big to-do. How did it turn out?
Oh, it was terrific. And that is our signature event as a city. We shut down Peabody Square. We had about 120 vendors this year, which was the most we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really our opportunity to celebrate our diversity, celebrate our history, and all the important ethnicities that have meant so much to our city. And it was a terrific day. The weather was outstanding. It was probably the best we've had in several years. It was beautiful out. tens of thousands. It's always difficult to figure, but we estimate somewhere around 50,000 to 60,000 people came that day.
Yep. Is that right?
Yep. All the vendors sold their food out. They made a tremendous amount of money. Just good feelings all around. People were excited. We did move the International Festival over a little bit more onto Main Street, and I think that worked very well. So, terrific day, and we were able to show off Peabody, which is wonderful.
You had a good turnout at the football game, too, on Friday
night.
That was packed.
Yes, he did.
Daryl was telling me that everything sold out there, too, so that's pretty cool. All right, one thing that, when I left here a couple of weeks ago, you talked about the restructuring of the square and Main Street and so on. You got that monument out there, and I can't visualize that. Can you give me a little more about what that's supposed to be?
Yeah, it's a project we're very excited about, and we're going to be moving forward with that in the spring, as soon as the weather allows. Hopefully it's a nice, easy winter.
Okay.
I don't know if that might be too much to ask for. But we've still been having some issues with our downtown in terms of traffic, certainly, but also in terms of pedestrian safety and vehicle safety and just making it easier for people to navigate. So what we're going to do is we got a MassWorks grant from the state, as well as some additional money we're putting in, and we're going to be doing a reconfiguration of Peabody Square.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be moving our monument, which right now is pretty much smack dab in the middle of the square. We're going to be moving that over in front of the courthouse, creating an open plaza area in front of our courthouse. It'll be a nice meeting place, people to gather, have some events there. But by doing that, we're going to open up Peabody Square, and we think it will be better for traffic to maneuver, make it more of a four-way intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it will be easier for people to travel, easier for people to walk, and we think it's a good project for us. But we're going to be doing all the corners over again, making a space available for outdoor seating, for restaurants and eateries.
Oh, cool.
Yep, and also we're going to be linking the lights that right now operate independently.
Okay.
We're going to be connecting to Walnut Street, Central Street and Walnut Street, the corner there. We'll be linking those lights to the lights on Main Street. And we think that's been some of the issues, source of some of the issues we've been having. So we feel very good about the project.
Does this tie into, I know there was a problem with flooding in recent history.
Yep.
Does this tie into that as well, or is that pretty much taken care of?
There'll be some small pieces that we're going to be doing for flood mitigation. I will say the flooding issues that we have in the past have been much improved.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a great deal of work over the last 3 years, including building a flood retention pond at a kind of a key area where the water flows down to Peabody Square. We still have trouble, you know, if all the sources come together, high tide, we have intense rain, all of that, you know, we still could run into some trouble, but we're doing much better as a city. There's been much improvement. We've undergone a major cleaning out of our culverts and storm drains over the last couple of years. That has worked tremendously. You know, we've been pulling out TVs and couches and tires and just regular vegetation and things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's had a tremendous effect of letting the water flow quickly out. So this very small piece is involved in flood mitigation. This is primarily to make it the downtown more attractive, make it better for pedestrian safety and vehicle safety and for parking.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to change our agenda a little bit. We're going to talk about Peabody 100, but I'd like to save that for a little bit later because that is coming up. And there is what's the website? It is, you can Google Peabody 100.
Yeah, it's peabody100.com.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And now I was just wondering, I haven't gotten a chance to go talk to Mayor Driscoll over in Salem, but this is a crazy time of year.
Yes.
In your neighboring town. The fall coming up, what are some of the things that are traditional with fall in Peabody that, you know, are either celebratory or things you just might have to think about or whatever, anything like that coming up?
Sure. The big, during the fall, our big source of pride for the community really is Brooksby Farm. We have a number of events over at Brooksby Farm, you know, hay rides and apple picking and all of that, which is great fun for families. I just brought my family up there recently. We had a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
But we do some events on Main Street. We have our Nightmare on Main Street celebration.
Okay.
Yep. And we do trick-or-treating down Main Street, all the different stores, and we have all kinds of vendors and food and cider and all of that. So that's a great event that's coming up October 22nd, I believe, is that night. And that's a real fun event. We have costume parties and things of that nature, too.
All right.
So those are a couple of the events we have coming up.
Thank you, sir. This is Mayor Ted Betancourt in Peabody with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.
This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Welcome back to North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell, and that was PBD Mayor Ted Betancourt, as you heard, with Rick Moore. I got a couple of notes here. Our old friend Paul Halloran, who was just fresh back from meeting with the Pope this week. I don't know if he actually met with the Pope, but he was down there. But their comedy night that he runs every year, which is fantastic. It's the 8th annual comedy night to benefit Neshoba Learning Group and Autism Speaks. And it'll be held on Thursday, October 8th. So that's coming up just next week, 6 o'clock at the Montvale Plaza, Montvale Ave in Stoneham. I think folks know where that is. I'm thinking they do. Dinner is at 6 o'clock, followed by an all-star comedy show hosted by the godfather of Boston comedy, Don Gavin. And this is a show that if you are a comedy junkie, you've got to be there because it lasts a long time, trust me. And it almost lasts too long, but you can walk out whenever you want to. But I know usually they have Steve Sweeney is there if he's in town. And so hopefully he'll be there. It's worth going to for that alone. And but anyways, that comedy night is Thursday, October 8th. And if you'd like tickets, they're $50. The prices remain the same for all these 8 years. And probably the best way to do it is, let me see. What I can do is we can post an address on the website, but the phone number to call is 617-872-0384, 617-872-0384. That will get you in touch with Paul Halloran for the comedy night at the Montvale Plaza in Stoneham. Also have a couple of Hall of Fame announcements, Rick. I know you were just at the Gloucester Hall of Fame, but Lynn English will be hosting its 2015 Hall of Fame induction ceremony on October 6th at the Porthole Restaurant. Tickets are $50, can be purchased from Lynn English High School Principal Tom Strange. Hall of Fame committee members, they have a meeting at or a get-together at 5, followed by dinner at 6. For more information, call 781-477-7386. One more Hall of Fame, the Swampscott Hall, Athletic Hall of Fame is accepting nominations for a spring 2016 induction, and they have some criteria that they've listed in the paper, and nomination forms are available at the Swampscott High main office at the Swampscott and Nahant Public Libraries. Nominations close November 7. So neither of those apply to us, Rick. We're not Hall of Fame worthy on either of those fronts. But anyways, those are two Hall of Fames coming up.
No, but we know a lot of Hall of Famers.
We do. All right. And you have another note at all or not? I know there was one note in today's, there was a note today in the item Lynn where a hardware store, here's another, Rick, we were kind of teasing Tim last weekend about holiday gift giving, Tim Kearns, during the football broadcast. But yet, I was in Lowe's Home Store this weekend, it was this weekend, and the Christmas decorations are in. They're not in full force, but they're there. Here it is, September, and the Christmas decorations are in. So it's not too early to be thinking of this, but the hardware store at Wyoma Square in Lynn, which is Wyoma Square True Value, has got their snow melt in. There's a story on the front page of the item. And to no surprise, you know, that the folks who were preparing for the winter, it's coming along here. We just got to get through the fall first, and then bam, we're into winter. And again, it reminds me of the story. It was so vivid just a few weeks ago when I'm shooting up and down Route 1, 90 degrees outside, and at Northeast Nursery, there in their big yard are piles and piles of firewood for the home heating season for the folks that heat by wood.
Yeah, well, that's what we do. We get ready for winter. All year long, really. I don't have my firewood yet either. I'm going to be late to the dance and probably have to pay, you know, a pretty steep price. But that said, I got to tell you, with the Christmas thing, it's almost the end of September, and I have yet to see a Christmas commercial on television. And they usually start about mid-September, so they're a little late this year. But the other thing is, talk about a little weirdness. I'm trying to figure out my Bluetooth and so on, and I play you know from the phone from I don't know iHeartRadio, iTunes, whatever, not iTunes but Pandora, whatever it might be. But I go in the car and I turn it on, and every day this morning when I try to play from my radio, it's playing Burl Ives' Holly Jolly Christmas. So I guess there's a message there.
All right, there you go. And I, Rick, my story. I was at a meeting in Boston last night. I'm driving back, and I try to hook up my my phone to my car radio, which I can do, and bam, there is North Shore Sports Night. Rick Moore talking with Matt Roy, North Shore High School Sports, as I'm driving down through Boston, listening in my car radio last night on North Shore Sports Night. Not bad,
well,
huh?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it is so cool, Bill, that now we can do that. I mean, you know, when we started this really 10 years ago, you were at WESX, and just getting a 30-second report by email to the radio station took forever. And, you know, the phone calls cost a lot of money because you had to pay, you know, long-distance rates and so on. So the technology now is fantastic. And, in fact, everybody knows you can listen to anything on the Internet now in your car. So it makes what we do very accessible, especially now with the new website. Our software is very responsive, so on your devices, on your phones and so on, yeah, you can listen to the games or whatever we have on online. You can listen to it in the car. So it's pretty amazing that the technology has gotten this far. And, of course, for kids under age 20, it's not amazing to them at all. I mean, they're born with it.
Yeah. So follow us on Twitter at our website, at our Twitter account, MSO News Sports, MSO News Sports. And also, if you'd like to email us at our email address, which is on the post, which is msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Just ahead, Kevin Fassett, new head football coach at Ipswich High School, got a win last Saturday at Hamilton Wenham, and then we'll be back to wrap it up here on this Tuesday edition of North Shore Today.
We are joined by Ipswich head football coach Kevin Fassett. And Kevin, you guys scored a road win at Hamilton Wenham on Saturday. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. Anytime you get that first win on the board, I think that's huge for the team and the program, especially against your rival school. We still have a ton to work on, and but we did a lot of good things, and we're getting better week to week, and that's really our goal. Especially with a lot of young kids playing in new positions.
Tell me about some of the kids that came through for you on Saturday, and then we'll maybe a little bit more about the game, because it was just a 2-point game, correct?
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. It was close, and a lot of guys contributed, and it could have went either way. I mean, Hamilton went them. They fought hard, and the game was really up in the air right to the very end, so it was a good hard-fought game on both sides. Jake Long did a great job running the ball, but I think a lot of our linemen did a great job up front. You know, the defensive line, I would say all the guys in particular, same in the offensive line, did a great job. Some of our senior leaders and Alex Morris, Jake Long, and Josh Brown all played real well. You know, being captains on a team that's really young, that's hard to do, especially when, you know, a close game like that, anything can go either way, and they did a great job leading us to, you know, the victory in the end.
Well, this is your first year at Ipswich. Tell us the story about how you've come to Ipswich, because both you and I, apparently, as we were just talking, shared the growing up on Lake Champlain a little bit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A small town in Plattsburgh, New York, and usually Burlington is the reference to kind of get people to know where that is, up by Lake Placid area. So I went to Bridgeton Academy. I was a football hockey guy. I was lucky enough to continue playing football in college at Springfield. I went back there as a grad assistant. Coached college for a little while at Springfield College, and then went over to Endicott for a little while, and then Rensselaer Polytech Institute, so RPI in Troy, New York. And then the last 3 years I've been in Melrose High School, and until this year being at Ipswich.
Oh, I got you. So coming to Ipswich, and what's us on the schedule for the next few weeks for Ipswich football?
Well, we're taking it one week at a time. We have Linfield, who's probably the toughest team on our schedule. I mean, they're a solid program. They play hard. They have great athletes. They're coached up real well. And we definitely have our hands full, and we got to make sure that we execute and come focused and ready to play, because if, you know, they have, you know, been an outstanding team the last few years. And, you know, if you look back at their scores, they've done a great job taking care of teams early. So we got to make sure we're ready to go right from the get-go so we can stick around in that game.
It sounds like with your coaching experience, Kevin, you've been able to grab a lot of different experiences from different coaches, whether it be head coaches or assistant coaches. So what's your philosophy at Ipswich now?
As far as grabbing coaches in general?
Well, no, as far as coaching philosophy, as far as dealing with student athletes, I guess. And
yeah, I think the biggest thing is you know, teaching these guys how to be young men, and I think that's really a great life lesson, and football does a great job. It's the ultimate team sport where – you can't always play for yourself. You got to play for each other. And if the guys start playing for each other and caring about each other, the culture starts to swing, and you start to win more games because it just becomes a great atmosphere. More guys want to contribute. And then when these guys do graduate, they learn lifelong lessons that, you know, hopefully they use throughout the course of their life. So,
last question, who's on your coaching staff? Who's working with you at Ipswich this year?
Yeah, we got a few guys. We got Kevin Buckley, who's been the defensive coordinator. He's been doing an outstanding job. As you can see, he's been able to keep teams in check. You know, he's been a great coach for us thus far, and you know, I'm sure he'll continue to be. We have Dave Drown. He's an Ipswich local guy. He's working more with the freshmen, but he's also – we combined teams this year with JV and varsity and no freshman team because of our low numbers. And he's done an outstanding job helping out, and, you know, he can't say enough about him. The other two coaches are younger coach Lincoln Hankey's can be a senior this year at Endicott College, and he's been doing a great job in the secondary and receivers. And, you know, the last guy is Kevin Drislane, and he's been also working in the secondary and working with our fullbacks now. And all those guys have done a great job. They bought into the program. They're spending time with the kids. And I think the kids are listening to them. And, you know, our success, you know, thus far and us changing some things have been all accredited to them because they've done an amazing job with what they've done with the program.
Right. Great, Kevin. Anything else you want to share with us about Ipswich football for 2015?
Nope.
Gotcha. All right, Kevin, great talking with you. Nice meeting you, and best of luck the rest of the year.
Yes, thank you, and good luck to you.
Okay. Kevin Fassett, head football coach at Ipswich High School on MSONewsSports.com.
Well, we had a bunch of coaches on last night, too, on North Shore Sports Night on Monday night, so please check those out. We talked with Revere coach Lou Ciccatelli. We talked with Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. And who am I missing?
Matt Bouchard?
Yeah, Salem football coach Matt Bouchard, along with Matt Roy and Gary Larrabee. So check those out. Very informative. And don't forget, on Friday morning at 10 a.m., we have Trending Now with Josh Arnold. He'll look back at the Gloucester mayoral race, the preliminary that's taking place on Tuesday, among other things as well. He'll have plenty of guests that he'll be talking with, too.
And we'll have our fingers crossed for the weather in our football broadcast, and let's hope they all happen. They all kick off on the right day, on the right time, and our football games this week, live video streaming of the Gloucester at Revere game Friday night at 7, and live radio coverage on Channel B on Friday night of the Lynn English hosting Beverly game. That's at 7 o'clock. Both games 7 o'clock. Both games Friday here on MSONewsSports.com. So with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday here on North Shore Today.